Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Don't be surprised this weekend if you see some interesting and bright characters walking around downtown with an emphasis on characters. Perhaps you'll see Huntrix, the Billboard-leading fictional band from K-pop Demon Hunters, or a couple of supermen scooting around. Maybe McGoogle from B-Squad, Ruby from Planet Oz will swing by. Chances are they are all on their way to the Crocker Art Museum, and clearly there are a lot of options. For more than a decade, it's hosted a free family event at the museum that celebrates comics, cartoons, and pop culture, and in addition to cosplay contests, participants can also meet artists and creators and learn some tricks of the trade. Eben Bergen is the program manager coordinator for the Crocker Art Museum. He's also an artist, and he's the founder of CrockerCon, which is scheduled this Sunday. And he is joined by Kyron Silva, founder of Taurus Comics and editor-in-chief at Fourth Wall Productions, to preview this weekend's event. Welcome to Insight.
Yay!
Thanks for having us.
I love that the intro was entertaining for the both of you.
Oh my god, yeah. It's always great to hear your products just, you know, blasted on the radio.
Yes, I love it. Well, so cool. Eben, this starts with you. How did all of this get started? CrockerCon at the museum.
CrockerCon was born out of, really, quite truthfully, an elevator pitch. I was at the museum. I ran into some folks that work at the museum, and I was like, hey, you know, comic books are art, comic books are literature. Let's do a comic convention at an art museum. And at first they were a little reluctant, but eventually, like, they warmed up to the idea. And now, like, over 10 years, we've been doing CrockerCon annually with the museum in collaboration, growing it incrementally every year. And now it's a free hold day festival. I'm just like still astounded saying those words out loud.
Well, it is a creative expression, mm-hmm. you know, being part of Comic-Con and cosplaying and all of that. What was the pitch that you made to the Crocker Art Museum to be like, hey, this has a place in an art institution like the Crocker?
Yeah, comic books, I think for a lot of us, you know, they're how we learn to read. Visual literacy is around us everywhere all the time. Even a painting or an illustration or a sculpture is trying to tell and convey a story. And comic books are one of these things where they're kind of, since they're so consumable by the mainstream, it was really important to create a bridge between sort of like the art institution and kind of the pop culture kids and kind of get them to see it. No, like you belong in a museum. You are just like Indiana Jones says, you belong in a museum. You belong in a museum. So trying to get them to all kind of come and see the comic book people come in to the museum and say, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. And then also the museum people, the people that support art institutions, learning that comic books are art and being able to explore that in a more meaningful setting.
So, Kyron, how did you get involved with CrockerCon?
I want to say about 7-8 years ago, I was first a vendor, just showcasing my artwork, showcasing my comic books, and 2 years ago, or last year actually, Eben sent out an email saying, hey, I need help putting CrockerCon together. Is anybody willing to step up and do this? And I think he sent out to the vendors because we are very passionate about what CrockerCon means to the art community here in Sacramento as far as comic books are concerned. And I was like, Eben, I have the time. I'm more than willing to help out. And I became his underling last year. And then I feel like it was a success. And then
absolutely,
we decided to expand. And I was like, I want to step up again. I want to be every point that you're there. I want to be there to help out. And for the past 5-6 months, Eben and I have been lockstep in just making sure that CrockerCon goes off without a hitch.
So you are also the founder of Taurus Comics. Yes. I'm a Taurus. Are you? Oh. I would imagine you're a Taurus.
I am a Taurus, yes.
For those who are believers in astrology, yes, I'm a Taurus. How did this all come about, founding, I guess, a comic publishing company, Taurus Comics?
I've loved comics since I was a kid. It was something I've always wanted to be a artist and a writer for comic books, particularly for like Marvel, DC, things like that. But then about 10 years ago, my wife got a position at her job and she was like, this is a good opportunity for you to maybe try out your dream, do something that you've always wanted to do and get out of the job that you hate so much. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. And I can't thank her enough for allowing me to do it, because this has been such an amazing adventure. I've been able to travel around the country, going to conventions. I met Evan and got to do so many great things. And every day is just a fresh start for me to just make comics and do what I love.
I mean, comic books to a certain extent have been mainstream, but it's been taken to a whole other level with these like blockbuster movies over the last, what, 10 years, maybe even 20 years. Are you both a fan of that? I guess, what do you think about the larger DC and Marvel universe in front of like the big screen and even the reboots and all of that?
I think the idea of having comics just in front of people is always going to be a good thing. I mean, comics have been on TV since the 70s and 60s with, you know, cartoons and things like that. But the idea that they're now being more accepted and being legitimized as something that is not just for kids is, I think, the best thing that the MCU and the DC universe has helped comics more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's probably my biggest hope, is that as people consume these large tentpole blockbuster movies, that they're returning to comics. I can't tell you, like, doing comic book shows all over the world, how often you run into somebody who's like, oh, I just used to read those as a kid. Yeah. And you really try to encourage them, like, hey, well why stop? Like, what, you know, I fell into this trap where comic books, I loved reading them, and then you start in school to sometimes get told, like, well, now you got to read the chapter books. You can't these are too many pictures. And the truth is that, like, when your brain is in overdrive when you're reading a comic book, you're filling in camera movements and all sorts of things. And the visual literacy is absolutely important and vital. So my hope is that, you know, as people really love seeing Superman on the big screen, that they're coming back and they're looking at Superman comics too, because they're these powerful stories about the rise of finding your voice as an immigrant, showing your strength, and being really proud of, like, what you do to lift others up.
Yeah, I mean, I know as a child, like, I would watch the old Batman TV show, and also, I really loved X-Men, but it wasn't until I was older that, you know, I read The Watchmen, which is, you know, it's darker and it's a graphic novel. So there's a whole range for people to enjoy. You know, if people are just focusing on kind of the mainstream graphic novels or comic books that bubble up to the top, what are some maybe more unassuming underground comic books that you think people should dive into and explore?
I mean, I'll give a shout out to a friend of ours, Dan Bethel. He writes a webcomic called Long John. He's been doing that for over a decade now. It did get optioned to become a animated series on FX, but it's a great series that involves the Western genre plus a little bit of supernatural series. Evan's B Squad is always a fun book for me to read. But I mean, there's so many great books that people, if you even go to like social media, TikTok, Facebook, there's so many creators out there that you can just find. Another one that's a great book that I think everybody should check out is called It's Nana the Were-Spider. It's made out of creators from New York, but it's a series that's based out a lot of African folklore.
That's very cool. How about you?
Well, I think one of the beauties about CrockerCon this year and the museum caring so much about bringing it to a bigger display allowed us to reach a lot further and invite people that are working really on like major tentpole comic books. You know, a guy like Mike Norton has worked on, you know, Hellboy. He's done Superman comics. He's credited in the Blue Beetle movie. But he also does really great independent comics like Battle Pug. The Revival was just turned into a television show.
Is Battle Pug really like a pug?
Yes. It's a giant pug that a barbarian rides into battle. And it's a really wonderful, it's one of my favorite comic books, to be honest. This is what's really cool about CrockerCon, is that you can go to these creators and meet them in person, learn about what they do, talk about process. And a lot of them are local to Sacramento. Sacramento has a really vibrant comic book creative scene. And there are going to be writers and illustrators there that are going to really show you what they do. And that's amazing.
Well, that's why it's been going on now for more than a decade. So people are going to be going this Sunday. Are there any do's or don'ts to CrockerCon?
I think the do's, I mean, really, spend time with the exhibitors. There's going to be so many art activities and so many other things. It's going to be very busy. So, you know, have some patience about access and like when you can go do, like go do something else. There's going to be one of my favorite things that we did this year actually is with the Crockertrons, which is like the unofficial transforms the museum into a giant robot. And this year is the 10th Crockertron. And we gave that to a local artist in collaboration with the Short Center, which is the developmentally disabled organization. And they help artists discover themselves. And we gave it to Matt Crouch, who's a local artist. And he illustrated the 10th Crockertron. And then we're going to also be able to make a 4-foot-tall Lego mosaic of his artwork. And that's again, because the museum really is believing in comics. We're able to kind of invest in make these things, these really magical things happen for our community.
It seems like an art museum. It adds a different flavor to you know, what I think the general public would think of as Comic-Con and a festival.
Yeah, I hope it makes it a lot more approachable. Like if Crockercon happens to be your first comic convention that you ever try out, I think you're going to set yourself up for like a really wonderful love of comics more broadly.
Yeah. Kyron, how do you recommend someone experience CrockerCon if it's going to be their first time on Sunday?
Don't feel overwhelmed. Be willing to ask questions, because everybody there is more than willing to answer any questions that you have. Even if they're there to sell their books, they're also willing to take their time to talk to you about their steps and what they want to do and explore. There's so many great things, from the cape making to the UC Davis video game orchestra.
doing a 45-minute set. It's a 25-plus person orchestra that's going to be playing like classical video game. We also have a board game room and a video game room with local video games to explore. Like, there's really, truly something for everybody. And then on top of that, the museum is open. So you can go see all of the different exhibitions. There's artists like Chris Wisnia that are going to be exploring topics on like Jack Kirby, and how that relates to a specific exhibition. There's just so many things that we'd have to spend probably like another 30 minutes like going through everything. There's too many highlights.
Have you ever thought about making it maybe a full weekend, since you have so much going on?
I think we have to see how this first day. This is the first year it's been this long. Before it was 3 hours, and now we're expanding that to 6 hours. So we got to get through this day first.
But I do think there's a larger thing I'm doing outside of my work at the Crocker to try to get a Sacramento Comic Book Week established. And I started an online petition to get that, as well as try to get rid of this antiquated law from the 1940s that is effectively like a book ban on comic books being sold to teenagers.
Yeah, I was reading your change.org petition. I wasn't aware of this law that's on the book. It's not actually practiced by the city of Sacramento, I don't believe. But is it that you can't access a comic book under 18 years old, or if you can explain it?
Yeah, the real gist of it is that you can't, a creator like myself, a comic book store, or even a convention that was engaged in the selling or distribution of comic books, if they sold a book, say like The Walking Dead or something that depicts like kind of violent crime, that's technically illegal, and there's a misdemeanor fine and jail time associated with that.
You think of like Batman.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really a vague law. And I'm really, really, really excited that there are city council members who have reached out. We've already talked a lot about how we can try to get rid of this antiquated law. And I think the moment that in the time that we're in right now, too, is really important to make sure that we get rid of laws that are potentially harming or could create harm for free speech, and get it off the books before it actually becomes a real problem. So I'm hoping that we can still keep our strength and keep our resolve to kind of make this happen.
Have you ever seen this law ever used in your experience?
So I am not gifted at looking that up, but I have seen comments from people that have engaged with this petition saying that they saw some record, or that it was, they did some research or something, and they said that it was as recently, it was in the 2000s that it was deployed. And I mean, there was a really big effort to ban comic books in the 1940s that led to like this really crazy thing called the Comics Code Authority, which was basically a self-censorship body for comics that lasted up until, I think, 2011. So that's a really long time. It's no more, thankfully, but... I think comics do a really great, there's no reason for this law, truly.
Yeah, I mean, what would your life be like if comics didn't exist? It's such a big part of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I perish the thought. I mean, I think through comic books and a love of art, I've been able to, I have my bachelor's degree is in international relations, and I never really thought comics would take me to Dubai and Sharjah and the United Arab Emirates, let alone Cairo, Egypt, and stand in front of the Great Pyramids, or go to Rome and like be talking about the importance of comic books. Like, I could not imagine my life without what that has opened up for me. And I'm not published by like Marvel or DC. This is all just like me being like, I love comics. I love to make comics and trying to empower other people to believe that they can do comics because mm-hmm. they can. Yeah.
Well, and even for you, Kyron, I mean, you started Taurus Comics. You know, you were doing something else professionally with your life and you did a pivot and you're better for it. How has it shaped your life actually diving into the comic book world in this way?
You know, actually, it's actually given me a lot of confidence in myself. Whereas before, I always doubted what I wanted to do, doubted what I could do. And comics allowed me to break out of that. It allowed me to get in front of people, you know, doing interviews like this, just being at a convention and talking to people. I was a very shy person growing up. So comics gave me that confidence that I could do something besides just sit in front of a computer and answer phones or, you know, do customer service. But it allowed me to really stretch, you know, myself and my life. Comics are such a beautiful medium because they can be, yes, they can be for kids, but they can also be for an adult. They could be for anybody. And I think that's one of the reasons that Evan and I enjoy doing CrockerCon and putting CrockerCon together is because we get to showcase what a comic can be and the truth of how a comic can help people.
You also host a podcast, the Four Tales podcast. What's that about?
That is actually a weekly podcast of myself and my podcast partner. His name is Danny J. Quick. He's also a comic creator who lives in North Carolina. Every week on Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, we interview comic creators like Evan and I. And we just want to get to the nitty gritty as far as why they're into comic books and why they love doing this crazy thing that a lot of times doesn't give us love back. Comics are very self-fulfilling at times, but the people that really make comics, they just seem to love it. And we want to find mm-hmm. out why.
And I mean, when I think about writing drawing, like creating comic books, I would think it could also be a lot of like a solitary experience because yes. you're creating alone at mm-hmm. home or in a room, and having a festival like this, like CrockerCon or Comic-Con, is wonderful because you actually get that feedback. It's a community experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My motto for a long time has been collaborator perish. Like, I really think that there's a much more beautiful thing about comic books where a rising tide, you know, it lifts all ships. And the more that we use CrockerCon to be that, like, I was just commenting to Kyron on, like, in text that, you know, CrockerCon, every year when we do it, it feels like a family reunion. We're yeah. getting a lot of the people that we don't see every day together, and we're checking in on each other. There's so many people that have started with CrockerCon that have gone on to make their journey. Yeah. you could point it like CrockerCon and kind of like draw this like little line. I mean, I don't think it is all CrockerCon or anything. It's obviously hard work and collaboration, but there's so many people that have gotten together and made something together. B-Squad truly like is a great example. Like many of the people that I collaborated with on that comic book series, I've met through CrockerCon or other conventions, and it's really like a homecoming and a really warm hug.
Yeah. And it's sort of like a high school reunion at times where it's mm-hmm. a big party
yeah.
and we all get together. I mean, even though we're friends maybe on social media, there's something different about being in the same room with
yeah.
somebody. And I mean, I've connected with so many people that are now close friends through CrockerCon and other conventions. It's mm-hmm. it's a different thing than just seeing somebody through social media.
Yeah.
Finally, what stories do you think are resonating with audiences right now?
I really think right now, like, we're at this point where, you know, just look, I mean, just even like the Superman movie, like that it's talking about kindness being punk. Like, I really think right now, we're in this moment where we really need to kind of help uplift our community, be stronger. I really love a good funny book. I think you could do that with tell something important, or make a metaphor, and create. I also really think, I was just listening to our local Pulitzer Prize winning, editorial cartoonist, Jack Oman. We're in a really important moment where we really need to stick up and be together on, supporting local cartooning, editorial cartooning, comic books, all these things that, truthfully are, I think also a canary in a coal mine. If we stay strong, and tell really good, important stories, 'cause that's, I think, honestly, one of the more amazing things about comics and why they attract book bans often is because, they're very good at lifting up, and helping create empathy and fostering, a vessel to speak truth to power.
I have to add on to that. I think a lot of what you're seeing in the comic industry right now is we're seeing a lot more of humanizing our superheroes, making mm-hmm. them more relatable to just everybody. Even Superman, like he was mentioning, is no longer just Superman. He's Superman and he's a dad. And we're emphasizing his work at the Daily Planet. Even with Batman, we're emphasizing the Bat family more in stories. So I think we're trying to humanize our superheroes to make them more relatable more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it hits home that he's a child, right?
Yeah.
And the relationship.
He's got a dog.
He has a dog, right?
His dog causes trouble.
And the relationship he thought he had, or mm-hmm. the idea that he mm-hmm. thought he had of his parents. Well, Kyron and Eben, thank you so much. It's going to be a great time on Sunday.
It'll be beautiful. It'll
be amazing.
Yeah.
Kyron Silva is the founder of Taurus Comics and an editor-in-chief at Fourth Wall Productions. Eben Bergen is a public program coordinator at the Crocker Art Museum. He's also an artist and the founder of Crocker Con, which is scheduled this Sunday, September 21st. We have more information on our Insight page. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a couple minutes.